Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This is the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show with Captain Mickey Eastman. Captain Mickey has been guiding the Texas Gulf Coast waters for over 30 years and has won numerous national and local tournaments. Now, here's your host, Captain Mickey.
Good morning. Welcome to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. I'm Captain Mickey Eastman, producing the Outdoor Show this morning.
Robert, official producer.
There you go. All right, Robert. Let's see what we can do today, bud.
Yes, sir.
All right, man. Good to have you in there, and we'll get rolling with it. Our sponsors for today's show, the Belleville Meat Market, Boyd's One Stop, Bauman Marine Service, Texan Roofing, and Mainstream Marketing. And looking at weather this morning, we got a little weak front, a little fizzler coming through tonight, this evening. I don't know. It'll get here, but today looks like down in Galveston, some clouds this morning. They'll give way to generally sunny skies for the afternoon, high of 73. Winds will be northeast 5 to 10 miles per hour. And tonight, mainly clear skies, low of 63, winds north-northeast at 10 to 20. And then for tomorrow, some clouds in the morning. It'll become sunny in the afternoon with a high around 70, east-northeast winds 10 to 20. So going to get a little wind starting out this week, it looks like, with this weird little front coming through, but we'll go with that. Tides for today, these are Galveston Channel tide predictions. We had a high occur just after midnight at 12:05 a.m. It was a 1.5, and then we have a low coming up this evening at 4:31 p.m. It's an 0.3. Looks like 6:49 a.m. is sunrise, 5:22 p.m. sunset. Our moon phase is 45%. Currently, the buoy offshore, 22 nautical miles east of Galveston. We have 71-degree water temp, 71-degree air, with an east-southeast wind at 9 to 11. Barometric pressure is 30.13 inches and steady. And Eagle Point, it's east at 6 to 7. Water temp there, 70 degrees. Morgan's Point, 70-degree water with an east-northeast wind at 5. And barometric pressure at both those stations is steady at 30.14 inches. So there you have it. There's our weather and tides and all. And let's get to work here and let's get all started off with the hammer this morning, Captain Glenn Hammond. Glenn, what's up, bud?
Good morning, Captain Mickey. How are you, brother?
I'm great. Top of the morning to you, my friend.
Yes, sir. It's a good one. It's a good one.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really light winds this morning.
Yeah, it's nice.
We're showing like 3 or 4 miles an hour southeast.
Mm-hmm.
But wouldn't you say that front's coming through tonight or in the morning?
Yeah, it could be anywhere from this afternoon till sometime tonight. Just depends.
Hey, it's
a crawler,
on, man. Yeah, well, it turned to summer. You know, earlier in the week we had that front, it felt real good, and all of a sudden it got real summer-like again.
Oh, yeah.
So the weather's just up and down, and fishing's been up and down. I had my next door neighbors go yesterday and they caught some small fish, and the ones they could have kept, they released anyway. They were just out for a boat ride, but you said it wasn't too bad. Other than the boat being everywhere and the kayaker being everywhere, just lots of fishing pressure, lots of traffic, lots of everything down here. I mean,
right.
It's rocking and rolling, Captain Mickey. You can't tell school's going on or whatever's happening. And there's a lot of people off of work, right? Of course, it is a weekend. And anyway, I got to get out on Friday morning. I went kind of out of my comfort zone a little bit, Captain Mickey. I went with a buddy of mine in his boat. And, there was three of us on there, and it was an 18-foot shallow. It was a little tight. a little tight to say the least, but man, from the time we got on the water, from the first stop to the last stop, we caught fish, and it was on plastics. And then he had his brother-in-law using live shrimp. And so, I mean, a variety of fish, buddy. They were, they caught sheephead. They caught black drum, croakers. They didn't keep anything but the trout, and they caught one 21-inch redfish. His brother-in-law did, and I think that was, they were real happy about it. The action was real, real good. It was just one of those days where you might look across the bay and see a flock of birds working, and I don't go pick up the anchor and go after them because usually it's little dinks in there anyway. I very seldom got on a flock of birds where you pull out just big old keepers. All you know, it's just usually sand trout. It's a lot of
mixed up stuff. Times have really changed, hadn't they? I mean, used to you never went past a school of birds because there was times in this bay system that, you know, it was nothing to catch 4 and 5 pounders under the birds. And then all the time, you always caught at least 2 pounders or better. And it's really changed.
It really has. And like I said, I don't even waste time doing it anymore. I mean, I sit in one spot. What I do, I've spent the years I've spent learning this area, I don't have to go look for the fish anymore. I know where they hang out. We'll go there. We'll try 15, 20 minutes. If we ain't got something biting, buddy, we're moving on. And I'm not a very patient fisherman. I get up and go, buddy. I just can't sit in one spot. So anyway, that's what I do. I just go to their hangouts and we spend a little bit of time. But anyway, we had a great day, man. They ended up with 11. Well, they had their 10 trout. I kept one trout for my wife and I. And they're great shape. The fish are in great shape, man. I mean, they were really snapping that day. I mean, it was one of the better days, you know what I mean? Just the water had started clearing, the wind had settled down. Actually, we had a pretty good southeast wind blowing. But, hey, man, it was a nice box of fish. It was great to get out. You know, things are picking up down here. I was talking about the construction going on this weekend, like it's starting this morning. The San Luis Pass this morning from the bridge is going to be closed, the San Luis Pass Bridge, from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock today. So y'all just keep it. If you got something on your mind about crossing the San Luis Pass Bridge this morning, it's not going to happen. It will be closed today from 8 o'clock to 1 o'clock, 1 p.m., So and also the county park down there, they're gonna revamp and dredge the San Luis Pass County Park right there, the boat ramp. It's kind of filled in with sand. Each storm we get brings another load of sand in there. So yeah. November 30th through February the 1st, and that's going to be the dredging time. It'll be a little bit messy down there at the county park. But
I bet anyway. That's gonna take a long time. What are they going to dredge out, the cut going into Churchill Bayou or what?
No, that's Cold Pass. It's
just a
boat ramp there from where you actually launch your boat to where you get to Cold Pass. It's just a little slough that goes through there. And, you know, they've got that San Luis Pass trailer park, camper, RV park right there.
Yeah, the KOA.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Very nice facility, man. Of all places, you got a beautiful view of the San Luis Pass area, and you can look out and see Bird Island and West Galveston Bay, and you look back and see Chocolate. You know, you got a pretty good view right there of the surroundings and the landscape right there. It's really, really pretty. But they do a great job. Nice restroom, indoor facilities for the ladies. And, man, that's where I go. I head straight down there. When I got a pretty good crew and got women on the boat or ladies on the boat, I try to go down there to where we can accommodate them with some real nice facilities. The bait camps, Friday morning, the bait looked good. I seen white flags flying all over the place, meaning live shrimp in the area. So if you are a bait fisherman, I don't believe you're going to have much trouble finding it. There's four or five different bait camps down here, and they got a variety of stuff, man. You can get everything from finger mullet to mud minnows to dead shrimp, live shrimp. You can get some offshore baits and all that stuff. But, hey, man, My boat's in the shop. I put it in the other day when I told you I was, and that afternoon, and I haven't heard anything. So hopefully sometime this week. But I'll tell you what, man, I was way out of my zone on somebody else's boat. Man, I'm telling you, we were bumping heads, and it was fun. Luckily,
yep, not a very big COVID boat there. Kind of bunches everybody up.
Well, you, on an 18-foot boat, he's got a poling platform over the motor. There's one obstacle. Then he's got his rod and reels on a holder right on that poling platform. Mm-hmm. And then on his grab bar on the console, he's got an antenna mounted. There's another obstacle. And then on the front, he's got a long shaft trolling motor that goes all the way back to the console. I gave him so much rip over that. I said, get rid of this and get rid of this. You wouldn't have thought I was actually out there making a paycheck and I was dogging his boat. Steve Myers, he's a great guy. Coastal Conservation Association, he's been with them for years. And I donate them trips to their fundraisers and stuff. And Steve's a great guy, man. He's been fishing with me for a long, long time. So he knows it's just a bunch of smack. And you know what I mean? We're just bull corning. It ain't no, we don't mean anything about it. So we mess with each other quite a bit. It was pretty deep out there, to say the least, Captain Mickey. Pretty deep stuff.
Yeah.
But yeah. Anyway, ended up with a very nice box of fish. And they were happy. Brother-in-law was happy. So, it ended up to be a good day. Now, I had to cancel today, and I went ahead and let those folks know 3 days ago, or as soon as I found out I had boat problem, I started canceling trips and calling, giving the folks an opportunity to where they could do something else and book something else. You know what I mean? And, right. And that's exactly what they did. The guy called me yesterday. He said, Glenn, he said, man, I really appreciate you letting me know early. He said, we were able to book somebody else for Sunday, and we'll get you next time. And that's all you can do. Just be truthful and honest with everybody. Man, I'm having problems. I'm gonna be down for a few days, and I'll be back on it, man. We'll be back fishing as soon as I can get the boat back. Or if y'all want me to hop on your boat like I did Steve's, I promise I won't dog you like I did him. I just had the opportunity, but it was a lot of fun, man. Whole lot of fun. And they went home with a couple of bags of fillets, buddy. They were really, really happy over it. So I wish it was hopping and going and things were better down here, but the waves were, the beachfront looked kind of rough yesterday, and, you know, with the wind blowing kind of sideways, a little southeast, had a pretty good swell going on out there in the Gulf yesterday.
Yeah.
But our inshore waters are starting to clean up real good, man. So as long as we don't get a bunch of west in the wind, you know what I mean? And, well, you said it's going to be blowing northeast again, and when that does, that's blowing right down the pipe. It's not one of our favorite winds to fish down here. Of course, everybody wants that sweet southeast wind, but it doesn't always happen like that.
No, so, it never does. It never works out. That's why you just go where the weather allows you to fish. You got to move around. Got to do your thing.
Yes, sir. Well, we caught them on plastics, and I bet you I used strawberry and white. I used black with chartreuse. I used a Rhodes color. It didn't matter. Glow chartreuse. It seems to be one of the better ones. I love this time of year when the white shrimp start getting their, you know, getting out of the bay. And I do real good on the glow chartreuse. I've always done real good in this area anyway.
Yeah.
So in this time of year. But it didn't matter what I threw at them the other day. They were popping it, buddy. They were smacking it good. You'd feel a good old hit. And Steve used all of his stuff. All of his spinning reels were rigged up with braid. And I don't know. That stuff just gives me nightmares, man. You got to have some patience when you work with braid. That's all I can tell you. That stuff will knot up on you, man.
Yeah, you just got to know how to cast it and get used to it.
That's, you know, it.
The biggest
that's
problem it. People make with braid is they try to throw it too hard. They overcast it.
I'm one of those guys.
You just got to let it go. I mean, if you're used to rearing back really slinging mono, and you can't do that with braid.
Right. And then you need some kind of a little pick to pick that backlash out when it goes all the way down to the spool.
Yeah, but it'll just grab itself and dig down a little bit, and you just got to pick that out. And
it's some
fine.
Funny stuff. That's what I said. You just got to work with it, and you got to have patience with it, man. I've been a monofilament guy, and I might can feel that bite on my nose. It's no – there's no comparison. A bite on braid and a bite on mono.
With the rods and reels we have these days, you mm-hmm. know, if you can't feel a bite on even on mono,
right,
you might want to stick to golf or to other pleasures in life, you know.
That's right.
All right, buddy. I got to run, Glenn.
Okay.
Hey, yes, it's sir. Always a pleasure.
713-208-0683. Thank you, Captain Mickey. I appreciate
you, buddy.
Okay,
Glenn. Have a good Sunday. We'll talk to you next week. See you, man.
Yes, sir.
All right. That's the Hammer down in the Tri-Bay area. Well, you know, folks, at Belleville Meat Market, if you're looking for a place to have all your processing needs done or a meat market that offers quality cuts of grade A beef, pork, and chicken, look no farther than the Belleville Meat Market. They're located, it's a real easy drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. They're located right in downtown Belleville. Look for the big white sign. Their processing facility and their meat market are right next door to one another. And you talk about quality that's been owned and operated by the Poffenberger family well over 30 years. They're fixing to celebrate their 40th anniversary. They're outdoorsmen like we are. They know what we expect, and they do it right. Their packaging is second to none. Stays fresh in the freezer forever. And if you're hunting whitetail deer, exotic animals, killing feral hogs, no better place to drop them off. With their two-lane drop-off system, it makes it much more convenient. They track your game all the way through the process. Check them out at BellevilleMeatMarket.com or call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show on this Sunday morning. 418 in the Bayou City. All right, let's head down to Matagorda Sunrise Lodge this morning, and let's talk with Captain Bink Grimes and see what's going on in the duck hunting world. Bink, good morning.
Good morning, Captain. How you doing?
Captain, what's up?
Captain, man. Bought a few mosquitoes and wiping the sweat off our foreheads.
I know it. It's not much of a fall so far, is it?
Man, I was talking about that yesterday. I can't remember November being this hot. I mean, you know, I just can't remember it being this hot for this long, you know, and not getting something in there that puts a toboggan on your head or something, you know?
Yeah. I'm trying to remember whether it was December of 83 or 84. One or the other. I remember waiting in short sleeves, you know, in December, Christmas time. I remember Christmas Eve we had unbelievable wade fishing trip with my dad and Plog and his dad and all that, and it was 80 degrees.
Yeah, that wasn't 83 because it froze in 83.
Well, no, it wasn't 83. I think it might have been 84, 85, but it was it was just one of those warm winters. It's crazy.
Warm winter. It is. I mean, we're getting creative. We're moving around. Our duck hunting has been wonderful, but I mean, it could be so much better with a little weather, so mm-hmm. much better. I've been trying to run a goose hunt for this whole weekend, and I can't get. I'm not confident in them. They're moving around. There's not many here, you know. And I think we're playing, you know, we're shooting plenty of birds, but I think we're playing with half of what we normally have, or less than half of what we normally have, you know,
right.
now. That's what I'm saying, you know. And what's helping is, you know, the water is just dry, and so it's concentrating them in a lot of areas, and shortage of water's got them piled in, you know, different spots along the prairie and the marsh, and that's helping too. But I guess if we had water right now and had rain, we'd probably have fronts too. So,
yeah,
a front would be blowing in, you know, so we'd probably have birds on the backside of that. So, it'll eventually happen. Hey, that's fine. It'll eventually
happen. Well,
I'm kind of glad.
We're doing this good with some of the shoots I'm seeing. Just think when we do get some weather and drive a lot more ducks down to the coast, you know, when the if old man winter ever shows up.
That's exactly right. I was saying, man, if we're doing this right now, you're exactly right. I'm kind of glad that, you know, normally on this first split, they give us about 30 days on this first split. Well, this first split is really only 23 days because we opened up the 7th of November. Most of the time we open up right there at the 1st or 2nd. So
right.
I'm kind of glad that it's going to end next week and then open back up in the middle of December, and hopefully we'll get a front because we definitely need a weather change. I hadn't seen an influx, you know, yet of a bird. I think we're hunting the same crop we
right that we started out with. Yeah, it's like yeah. They're resident birds now.
So you got to get creative with them, you know.
Right.
We're pulling off and not, you know, sometimes you know the greatest conservation tool for a duck is a duck call, and you know, and using it too much. You know what I mean? So, I mean, sure. we're pulling off of it. Especially without, I mean, yesterday we had a little wind, but I mean, we really haven't hunted wind yet either.
Nope.
It's been so many calm days, and man, everything's so it's bright, it's calm, it's loud. So you really have to cut back what you're doing with them. You know, I mean, little bitty quacks and whistling, you know, and just not blaring at them, you know, playing a trombone to them.
Boy, that ain't no joke. We've seen that a million times. It's some guys I know, some of the best duck hunts they've ever had is leaving their calls in the truck.
That's exactly right.
Oh, I forgot my calls. Well, hey, it's a good day for it. Don't worry about it.
Oh, shoot. I know it. So, but, I mean, like I said, you just can't complain. You know, hey. Take what you got. Good Lord gives you. Man, we've been blessed and had really, really good hunts. So it could be, you know, it could be a whole lot slower. But it's been really good. It sure has. It's just been really good.
So, well, there's nothing like, you know, everybody being in the duck blind. And, you know, even if it's a little slow, it makes for pretty good humor in the other fashions. You know, when the birds aren't flying and, you know, let it fly for a while. Yeah. And then you'll get that one good flock in, and, you know, 30 gags come in at one time, and everybody just starts raining ducks everywhere. It picks up real quick.
Yeah, yesterday, man, it kind of scared us a little bit. We're sitting on 30, 35 minutes into the hunt, and we got two or three birds and hadn't seen hardly anything. And,
yeah.
And knew what we were hunting, man. We were going in on strong stuff, and then all of a sudden, here they come. You know, it's a different day every day, you know, and you know, it took us till 8 yesterday. We got all our ducks, but it was like, oh, shoot, where's everything at? You know, what's going on here? And, I mean, just, you know, you didn't get those early flights like you normally do yesterday. And it was just one of those days. I got the old Barbers Hill boys down here for day 3. They, Doc, Mr. T, Johnny Ponder, and all them, they're down here. They're going to hunt today and then go back home. They've been enjoying the Matagorda bounty of ducks and then trout and redfish and a couple big old flounder yesterday. So
really, well,
oh,
there's
yeah.
some nice flounder showing up right now. I mean, you know, everything I'm seeing is like 21 inches up to 25, 26 inch flounder. That's good stuff, man.
And you can sit off my dock there at the lodge and doodle sock them up and down that because, you know, the old Colorado River goes right in front of me, you know, and goes out towards the Gulf. And so,
uh-huh.
That's, you know, that's the only place a flounder can get out of here, you know.
Right.
And you can sit there and at times and just doodle sock right around there and pop you some good flounder because it's that old silt and stuff on the bottom. It's soft and they love laying right on top of it. And people turn on the lights and stuff and we cleaned a lot of fish there too, so there's crabs there, you know, there's all kinds of minnows and stuff around there, and man, those
right.
big old flounder roll up in there, so that's a good deal. But we fishing, you know, we're gonna fish a little bit, I guess, tomorrow and Tuesday, give give the fields a little rest and get back at it on Wednesday. But had a good day. I guess we fished Thursday too, and it was got after them pretty good on topwater's weight. It was a nice change. So
yeah, that's fun.
I think Friday down here, you know, I hunted Friday, but I think Friday, with all my guides that I talked to, they told me that might have been the best day they've had all year. Just
really?
As far as just, yeah, yeah, a lot of people told me that, Tommy, you know, all of them, man, it was really, really, you know, morning and afternoon. A lot of them told me that. And it's a pretty good time to, and the same thing here, man. If the water ever leaves this place, it's still high. I mean, I've never seen November tides this high, this late, you know. And if it ever falls out, it's going to go absolutely, absolutely nuts.
Well, that's the kind of year we've had. There's been a lot of high water this year, man, with all the storms and everything. And plus, we've had a lot of east in the wind. And you know what that does. It adds water. So.
Sure does. Sure does. Gives you a little bit more real estate to fish, but this time of year with the shrimp crop in the marsh and everything, we kind of wish it'd fall out of here, and it'll go absolutely crazy. But like I said, same thing. I mean, it's not fall weather on the ducks or the fish, but I mean, it's still pretty daggum good. So we're pretty blessed to do what we do down here. So.
Well, yes, we are. It could be a lot worse.
I just turned, you know, I mean, it's pretty nice to live in Texas. I got a pecan pie from one of my real estate company that I sell real estate in, and my one of the mortgage companies I do business with sent me a pie from Good Company that says, you might want to thank your lucky stars for living in Texas.
You got exactly that right.
There's a big pecan pie right underneath it, you know. So, but you're, I mean, shoot. I can't imagine living anywhere else.
It's hard to beat a Good Company pecan pie, bud.
Well, it is.
I remember when Jim used to fish with me and James and everything, he'd always bring a pecan pie.
Brazos Bottom pecan pie is what they called it.
Yes, sir. So. All right, Bink. Well, hey, man, I hope you have a good shoot today, and we'll finish out the week on ducks and then wrap her up for the split and start harassing trout heavily every day. So,
yeah, we're gonna wrap it up this week. I think I'm gonna roll down there to see Kirk on Monday or Tuesday of next week, try to kill a canvasback one day.
Oh,
get
cool.
Away. Yeah, they got a few canvasbacks out on Marsh over. I sure do like that Marsh over there. And
yeah,
they like going over and jacking with those boys. You know.
Yeah, that's a fun time with that bunch right there. Can't go wrong with them. All
yeah,
right,
you
man.
Give us a holler at 979-241-1705, Matagorda Sunrise Lodge. Catch us on Facebook, Instagram, whatever.
All right, and, Kirk. Always a pleasure, man. I mean, I had Kirk on my mind thinking about going duck hunting over there. But, Bink, it's always
we
good talking to you.
Yeah, we laugh. So we call this Hackberry Rod and Gun South sometimes. At our place, because they helped me get going about 10 years ago. So, so anyway.
good deal. Have a good shoot, Bink. Be safe out there, buddy. And happy Thanksgiving. All right,
man. You too,
see ya. All right, that's Captain Bink Grimes down in Matagorda. Well, you know, the Belleville Meat Market, they're located right in downtown Belleville. They're a short drive from Sealy on I-10 or Hempstead on 290. Go downtown, look for the big white sign, and you'll find the processing facility and meat market right next door to one another. And no better place to shop or no better place to drop off your wild game than at the Belleville Meat Market. Owned and operated by the Poffenberger family for well over 30 years, and they're outdoorsmen like we are, and they know what we expect, and they do it up first class around there. And if you're looking for 28 great flavors and varieties of pecan smoked sausage to choose from, you can have your venison turn into that, or their award-winning summer sausage, burger, pan sausage, you name it, they do it all, and they do it with excellent quality at the Belleville Meat Market. Check them out on the web at bellevillemeatmarket.com. You can actually you know, order online. They'll ship it right to your door. Or you can call them at 979-865-5782. That's the Belleville Meat Market, where meat is our middle name. Good morning. Welcome back to the Sports Radio 610 Outdoor Show, 434 in the Bayou City. All right. Let's go check in with Captain Tony G now, Tony Gonzalez. See what's up with him. Tony.
Captain Mick, how are you?
What up?
Not much. Got her done. Finally. It was a good week. You know, I left Rockport last Sunday. That front hit.
Saw that picture of that deer. What did that deer score?
He went right at 175.
I knew it was a good one.
And it weighed 178. One of my buddies had guessed it, you know, 178. And my hunter was like, you know, it would be cool if he weighed what he's, you know, scored.
What he scored, yeah. Well, that's close enough.
Oh, yeah, definitely close enough. Definitely, I guess what you call, you know, platinum package deer.
Sure.
So Bill was very pleased with the payday on that one. And it was just neat, you know. We got there on Wednesday. And we got it down on the fourth hunt of our trip, and you know, he was trying to hit that 200 inch mark, but we just, you know, didn't come across anything like that or even on cameras. But you know, I think some of them big boys are still hiding, and then those cameras are definitely giving me fits. I think I figured out, you know, how to work those cameras. So I have about six of them. Like three different brands. So, and you have those cameras, some of them have a digital screen on them where they can, you know, like a, you can jog through a menu or whatever. Mm-hmm. You really got to put a card in there, and they all have where you can go to, unless it's in a custom setting, and then you toggle through there and you'll see format card. When you format that card on that camera, then it's set, you know, and I have a little handheld kind of card viewer called the Swipe. It's a Wild Game Innovations device. The thing's about 50, 60 bucks, and it's really nice. It reads the cards well, and you can format cards on there, but you want to format that card with that brand name camera kind of deal. So, you know, I was able to format, you know, three different cards for that camera, and then use some other cameras to themselves to format it. So if you're having problems with cards and stuff like that, you know, that might be a little tip for you. And you got to delete them. You know, we have to only set them out about every 24 hours for about 24 hours. Cause you get lots of deer coming in and bugs trigger it and raccoons trigger it. And sometimes you get a camera has 1,000 pictures. It just takes forever to go through, you know, 1,000 pictures. That's what I'm looking at now. It's kind of a slideshow on my laptop and just let it scroll through. I see some, I should stop and check it out. But yeah, you know, that front hit last week, leaving Rockport, I went and had breakfast, come across the Copenham Bridge. I came through Tivoli and headed up that back way. And
right.
Boy, it was rough. And I wanted to hit Tackletown before I left to see if they had any ammo. They bought me a new handgun. It's kind of, I got to go do my transfer today. Found a dealer here in the neighborhood. And they were out of 9mm. And
Speaking of 9mm, when you mentioned getting a handgun, I heard from friends that went to a gun show yesterday, and 9mm bullets are selling like hotcakes, and they're $1 a piece. $50 a box for a 9mm. Come on, man.
Well, I found some 10s at a pawn shop here in San Marcos, and I was like hitting those pawn shops because, you know, I went to school there in San Marcos. I might have hawked a gun for some beer money once or twice and went and got it back out. And, you can find some nice guns that them boys should be, you know, taking to college in the first place. And they probably do the same thing that we did for beer money. But he had several 10mm. But, you know, that's not like a practical – that's a hunting handgun. That's not like a practical self-defense, you know, concealed carry type handgun. But
it depends on who you are and where you live. Just kidding. 10mm, that's a bad dude. That's like carrying a 44 Magnum all the time.
Oh, yeah, you're going to go through two car doors and probably hit somebody.
Man.
It really is. But they have, you know, I mean, they can shoot out a good distance, and we're target practicing one day.
I like shooting my 10.
I mean, they hit what you point at, you know, and
yes, sir.
But I'm happy about I ordered me a Walther PPQ 9mm, the Navy edition. It's pre-drilled for a suppressor. And when I'd read about it and stuff, it mentioned it had one of the best triggers ever made on a handgun. And so I decided, I want to try one of those. And, you know, they're like really weather resistant too. And I just couldn't find one. And I found two, and it said slightly used new. So I called that guy, and he was like, Tony, I was going to use it as a suppressor. That he's a level 3 dealer, and he sells suppressors also. And he's like, I decided to go with something else, and it has probably less than 100 rounds in it, and it's been in my safe for the last year and a half. So, you know, sounds like a nice new gun, you know. So kind of excited about that coming in today. And then on the way home, I stopped at that Bahia Mission in Goliad.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've ever been there, but it's like an old fort. You know, that's one of the battles from when I went from the Alamo to there, and then the Battle of San Jacinto. And that is a really neat place, you know, and beautiful church. And I was real happy. I lit 6 candles. I lit 2 for Steve's parents, Steve Law's parents. I lit 2 for my parents, and I lit 1 each for me and him, and sat there and prayed a little bit. Just a neat place, the history of Texas, and it's worth a stop. You know, you sure could learn a lot, and especially everything that's going on now. They went through it back then. You know, it's all the writings are right there and all those articles that you read that it's the same stuff, you know, and it's very educational. I like that. You know, of course, we should go on this field day trips to San Jacinto Monument and the Battleship of Texas in elementary school and junior high. So that was real nice. But going through all the cameras and stuff, trying to pick out some, you know, different deer for different price levels for people, and come across a really neat 12-pointer that I was telling Bill about. And it's a 12-pointer, dark chocolate horns, nice tines, but about a 10-inch spread. And he started laughing. He's like, wow, that's kind of funny. I was like, it's just so tight. But he's got good tines. And if someone can't afford, you know, a really expensive hunt, they can, you know, go home with a 12-pointer. And it's a cool deer. And he's like, yeah, I'll try to save that one for you, Tony. And then that 8-pointer that I sent you with that kicker, that really comes up to about a 9. You know, he might break the 140 mark, but just a beautiful deer.
He is pretty dear.
Mm-hmm. And that's one thing I need to get me. My hunter, he had a Canon Rebel with a nice zoom lens.
Yeah.
He was taking pictures of those deer with that instead of a video camera. And, oh, they're just so beautiful because, you know, everything's kind of blurry in the background. But that deer is just, you know, focused in so pretty, like a sports shot or something. And, those pictures, I'm sure, can really sell some deer if you, you know, send them out to people and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. If they're interested in something. But yeah, we need to do some calling. And one thing we need to get rid of, we have a bunch of raccoons. I'm sitting here looking at a picture right now. There's probably 20.
There's a coon problem this year. Everybody's, you know, I'm hearing that from everybody.
And, you know, one of my buddies, he's a ranch manager at a ranch in Camp Verde. And he was telling me, he's like, Tony, at one point we just decided to start taking them out, and they got up into the numbers of 500 or something like that. And he's like, and they estimated that number over a couple of years at their feed bills somewhere in the $60,000 to $70,000 range. They were estimating that was, you know, 10% of the feed that those raccoons were eating. And there's some big ones. I mean, you know, 15-20 pounders, I bet. But Bill's like, well, I never thought about it in that situation. I was like, well, you know, like picture I'm sitting here looking right now. There's 5 deer sitting around, and the whole thing is full of coons. And they're just sitting around waiting to get whatever's left after they're done. And
they crawl up the feeder, and they'll get under there, one of them smart coons, and he'll just start spinning the feeder and just dropping feed for all of his buddies. It's crazy.
Well, see, we have some of these, like, cattle troughs that are, like, handmade. You know, it's basically like a table.
Uh-huh.
You know, and it's about knee high, and it has a roof on it and sides on there to keep the rain off of it. But they don't have to crawl up. You know, they just jump up on the kitchen table, and I mean, it's a whole table full of coons. Yeah. And then I've got a bunch of, you know, we didn't have any hogs for about 5 years on camera or anybody seeing any. And now we're starting to get some. And Bill's like, try to get some of them down, Tony. And hey, you talk about some show hogs. They are plump. They're beautiful. All they're eating are protein, you know. And these aren't some mangy looking ones. And I was telling him, I was like, oh, I'm not shooting them because I don't want to. I just hadn't seen them, but I definitely want to knock a couple of those down because they're healthy, Bill. He's like, oh, yeah, those are prize-winning hogs there. So that's the plan. I'll be hopefully get some. I'll probably take off this Thanksgiving. I'm going to try to get my buddy out there that, you know, I was in my college roommate that his grandfather had that place I mentioned over in Mexico. Try to repay the favor of him taking me out there all them years and get him on some, you know, something. I mean, I don't know if he's wanting to buy something, but as I told Bill, I was like, this is kind of a guess. I want to take a guess. We'll go shoot some coals. And like, who knows, Bill? He might be interested in a deer and throw down some money on something nicer, you know, but I just kind of want to repay the favor. Sure, that sounds nice. And one good thing is, you know, on that, that fifth day, you know, we took care of his deer and got it caped out and stuff. I didn't score it that night. You know, it took a while to get that caped out. And then we decided to go ahead and celebrate and have a steak dinner. And the next morning we went out and he shot four coals. So he's got, you know, I took one of those coals and then Desi took one, the ranch hand, and he kept, three deer himself. So, there's three deer on their way to the Belleville meat market probably tomorrow or maybe Tuesday.
Well, I was hoping to pop in there this week, but, you know, it didn't work out. It got too warm in these fronts or fizzlers, and it's going to be in the 80s down there. There's a lot of fog. So,
And my bigger bucks kind of disappeared off camera.
Yeah, it everything changed, you know, with this weather. We need some weather now. We got a good one coming after Thanksgiving. So next week there's like two fronts coming in. It's going to be nice and cool. So that'll be good hunting weather next week. Really good.
Well, I think what they've done. I mean, they're not. It's not that they're not eating, but you know, Bill's, you know, concerned that he's like, you need to get him out there. You know, he's like, because they're fighting, Tony, but they're fighting bushes right now, and I think that's why they disappeared. They're out there making their, you know, running their trot lines and getting ready for the rut, and I'm looking forward to that cold front, you know, and I had one nice deer come in that morning, and we had seen him, but we didn't have a chance to get him on camera, or, I mean, he was real in and out real quick, and he's a bruiser. I mean, he'd be a platinum pack deal, and I looked up, and I seen him, and he was about 250 yards out. He was staring straight at the stand, and, you know, I wanted to touch that deer, nice sweeping beams. So I picked up my video camera and I just set it like on my sandbag. And I guess he saw that lens and boy, he turned around and he was gone. You know, maybe he's taking a drink in a pond and saw how big he is himself and thought I better stay away from them stands because, I might be the biggest deer out here right now. And he was a real pretty deer, but he knew I was there. And, as soon as I tried to get a good picture of him, he took off, but, we're looking forward to it. Bill's going to be getting down there maybe this weekend. And I'm ahead to Rockport. I had a call yesterday. Someone wants to fish on Tuesday. So, you know, wife's like, you're gone again? I'm like, what's up to you? Yeah, I can stay, you know. And she's like, no. I was like, the momentum's going pretty good, sweetie. And we don't know if they're going to try to put us on lockdown again. And pretty soon it's going to be too cold. So, go ahead. She said, no, go ahead and go run a trip. Come back for Thanksgiving and get back out there. I think one of the sons is headed out there tomorrow to the ranch, and it just turned out real nice, you know. My hunter might come back, you know. After he got it in, it wasn't what he's looking for. He's like, well, the quest still continues for my benchmark deer, and so Bill's real excited about that. Well, when's he coming back? Well, he's not going to go after that deer this year, but he saw some other deer that he. I'll send you some pictures of, and y'all can negotiate on you know, come back and shoot another deer for a liquidation type price, you know, because, you know, like Blaine says, the phones aren't ringing as much as they should be, you know, because of.
No, this is, man, 2020 is just a upside down, just, it's just been terrible. But anyway, all right, Tony, I got to run, man. If somebody wants to call you, maybe your phone will start ringing. Somebody wants to come down and shoot some pretty deer. I've seen pictures of them. You got them, man. If
I appreciate
somebody
it.
Wants to call you, how do they get a hold of you, dude?
Sure, you can reach me at 210-846-5083, or you can go online to CaptainTGIF.com, abbreviate Captain.
All right, Tony. Hey, have a good one, and happy Thanksgiving to you. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, you too. Congratulations.
Right, hey, you see you, man. All right, take care. All right, that's Captain Tony G down in Rockport. All right, now let's go to Freeport, and let's get started off with old Captain Jeff Naylor. I just call him Naylum. Hey, man. Did he drop? Yeah, I heard it. I heard it pop. Try him again. I don't know. We'll see if we can get him back up. Yeah, it was, it's going to be a nice fishing week up till Thanksgiving. I think after that, though, if you're seriously into hunting, you may want to take some time off and get out of Dodge and go to the deer lease after Thanksgiving. We're going to have some nice hunting weather during that amount of time. So I'm looking forward to it. Maybe I can do an escape route again. That's what I had planned for today through Wednesday, and then come back and have Thanksgiving with my family. But looks like I'll be staying home now. I just don't like hunting when it's warm. Plus, it's been foggy down there. Rattlesnakes are still bad. I'm seeing a lot more pictures. All right, we got him back again. Let's try him. All right, Jeff, what's up, man?
What's going on, Captain Mick?
I don't know. Modern technology.
Yeah, I'm telling you, man. I mean, sometimes it just gets in the way.
Yeah, it does.
What's going on, man?
Not a lot.
Hey, yeah. Man, it's another weekend of us sitting at the on the dock, you know, doing maintenance and repairs and stuff like that. So, been slow boogie for us, you know, offshore wise. Mm-hmm. And that wind just doesn't want to seem to let up. It gives us a little break, and then, you know, and then it kind of picks right back up too quick to even do anything about it, you know. So, yeah, you know, we're actually doing a lot of maintenance. I was talking to you last week about doing some different stuff to the dynamic of the boat and turn tabs and stuff like that. And, you know, I was more or less just kind of playing with the boat and everything this week and getting ready for the toy run for December 5th, Freeport to Port O'Connor toy run that we do each year.
Right. I remember you mentioning that to me.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a great, deal that we do each year, and it's a great organization. But we basically start out at the Freeport our Surfside Marina there and go down the Intercoastal and take a bunch of gifts and stuff to needy kids down in Port O'Connor. Really great deal, you know, so if anybody wants to get involved with that, come on down and check us out December 5th. But, yeah, I mean, other than that, it's been kind of slow boogie. You know, I see Sharkies over there just slaying flounder one after another. And man, you know, we just don't get a chance to do that much.
Well, they got a great funnel point down there with that Galveston Channel, you know, en route to the jetties out to the Gulf. And it makes for some really good flounder fishing, man.
Oh, you ain't kidding about that, man. I've seen a bunch of them all over the place. And, you know, we started to go. We had a little trip booked. I had some friends that wanted to go fishing this morning, and I think we opted out of it. But, man, I mean, this is calm wind like it is right now. It's probably the best day to go, really.
I know. And, it's calm, I mean, right now before that front comes this evening or tonight or whenever it decides to get here.
Yeah. Yeah, no kidding. It's but you know, yesterday we were out in the water for a little while, kind of test riding the boat, and man, it was beautiful. I mean, it's, you know, good 70-degree weather. I mean, can't get any better than this.
No, it's Chamber of Commerce weather, without a doubt. It's been a really nice November, no doubt about it.
Oh, man, gorgeous, gorgeous sunny day and all that kind of stuff. Really wishing we could get out there. You know, it looked like the weather was going to let up a little bit on the backside of Thanksgiving or next weekend. But now it looks like a front's going to come in next week and maybe potentially the following week. So, you know, we kind of got our fingers crossed and just doing all we can do to get prepared. Typically, I feel like, you know, historically when you got these 3 or 4 weeks in a row, it's back-to-back-to-back fronts, and you got that one next week looks like a powerful front. I mean, they're talking about 40-mile-an-hour winds and, you know, all kinds of good stuff. So we may have a real good stretch on the backside of it that all of a sudden, you know, produce some good weather windows for us. But I've been staring at the altimetry and all that for a while, and the dynamics of that offshore tuna bit is starting to change a little bit, and hopefully for the best. I don't know, we had that zero line that was sitting right on top of Boom Vang and Nance, and then it's kind of drifted off quite a bit. There's still a couple of drill ships out at the Perdido area. Now I'm sure, well, you know, drill ships are always going to hold fish, mm-hmm, typically, you know, but really would love to see some of that, you know, zero altimetry sitting around there somewhere too with them, and man, it would be dynamite. But it's starting to kind of move off a little bit, and you know, they're still in positive 4 altimetry, which is not bad. You know, of course, the closer to zero you get, the better. But yeah, I mean, for all those guys who are going to go, I think they're just been so little pressure on them that man, whoever makes
it. Yeah, there hadn't been a lot of windows to get out there, you know, and that's the same thing the guys over in Venice have been fighting all year too. So,
oh man, it makes it tough, you know, as a guy
it'll
doing
come.
That kind of thing too, you know, it will. You're absolutely
it'll
right.
It'll come. Well,
and that's right.
You, maybe this next front will change everything. Get a good rip snorter through here and lay everything down, and you can get out, and fishing will change here for the better also inshore. So,
yeah,
so that's what we do, playing the games with Mother Nature.
That's it. You know,
always.
water temps look great, though. I mean, you know, they're coming down. They were real high for a long time, and they
sure,
really started to come down and kind of level off a little bit. And, you know, all that kind of stuff, it just really is going to play into a really good bite out there for those folks who make it out there. You know, even the big boats. I haven't heard of any big boats going out or anything. Several of them out fueling and
exactly,
getting prepared yesterday, but that was about it, you know. And a lot of folks getting ready for Winter Wahoo, the Winter Wahoo Championship out of our marina, Freeport. They opened up registration, and they'll close, I think, mid-December, something like that. And then there's another couple of tournaments that they're getting signed up for. There's one out of Freeport that's going all year next year, and I'll get back to you on the name and registration of that next year, next Sunday, I'm sorry.
All right, Naylor, I got to run, my friend. If somebody wants to hook up with you when you get a good weather window and you can get them out there, give everybody some information so they can get a hold of you.
You bet, brother. Call me anytime at 979-417-1013, and go to our website at stsladventures.com. That's short for South Texas Salt Life Adventures. Give us a holler if you need anything.
All right, Nalem. Hey, have a good one and happy Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you next week, bud.
All right, I'll do the same.
See
you,
man.
Guys.
Take care. All right, that's Captain Jeff Naylor in Freeport, and we're going to take a top of the hour break, and you're listening to the Outdoor Show. We'll be right back after these messages.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.